Welcome today from Philippi, chief city of Macedonia. Paul founded the ecclesia at Philippi in Acts 16, and throughout his life, the Philippians held a special place in his heart. He writes to them with affection, and the epistle breathes a note of joy throughout. When Paul first came to Philippi, he was thrown in jail. In the deep of night, bound and beaten, he sang a hymn to God in Acts 16. 10 years later, he was in prison again, still celebrating the Christian's joy in the midst of suffering. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians 4 and 4. Today, brethren and sisters, we are going to become Philippians. We're going to listen to Paul and what he has to say to us. Greetings from Paul. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ. It is written to all God's people in Philippi who believe in Christ Jesus and to the elders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to God. I always pray for you, and I make my requests with a heart full of joy, because you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ, from the time you first heard it until now. I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus comes back again. It is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a very special place in my heart. We have shared together the blessings of God, both when I was in prison and when I was out, defending the truth and telling others the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with tender compassion of Jesus Christ. I pray that your love for each other will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in your knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live a pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. May you be always filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. Paul's joy that Christ is preached. And I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped me to spread the good news. For everyone here, including all the soldiers in the palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians here have gained confidence and become more bold in telling others about Christ. Some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know the Lord brought me here to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely intending to make my chains more painful to me. But whether or not their motives are pure, the fact remains that the message about Christ is being preached. So I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me, and as the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will all turn out for my deliverance. For I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that causes me shame, but that I will always be bold for Christ as I have been in the past, and that my life will always honour Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living is for Christ and dying is even better. Yet if I live, that means fruitful service for Christ. I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. Sometimes I want to live, and sometimes I long to go and be with Christ. That would be far better for me, but it is better for you that I live. I'm convinced of this, so I will continue with you so that you will grow and experience the joy of your faith. Then, when I return to you, I will have even more reason to boast about what Christ has done for me. Whatever happens to me, you must live in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ, as citizens of heaven. Then, whether I come and see you again, or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing side by side, fighting together for the good news. Don't be intimidated by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this fight together. You have seen me suffer for him in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of this great struggle. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and sympathetic? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one heart and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs. Be interested in others too and what they are doing. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus had. Though he was in the form of God, he did not grasp to be equal with God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven, where he exalted him and gave him a name that is above every other name, so that at the time of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Dearest friends, you were always so careful to follow my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, you must be even more careful to put your action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. Let your lives shine brightly before them. Hold tightly to the word of life, so that when Christ returns, I'll be proud that I did not lose the race and that my work was not useless. But even if my life is to be poured out like a drink offering to complete the sacrifice of your faithful service, that is, if I am to die for you, I will rejoice. And I want you to share my joy with you all. And you should be happy about this and rejoice with me. Now Paul talks to Timothy. If the Lord Jesus Christ is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon. When he comes back, he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. But you know how Timothy has proved himself. Like a son with his father, he's helped me preaching the good news. I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what is going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come and see you soon. Paul here commends Epaphroditus. Meanwhile, I thought I should send you Epaphroditus back to you. He is a true brother, a faithful worker, and a courageous soldier. And he was your messenger to help me in my need. Now I'm sending him to home again, for he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. And he surely was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and also on me, so that I would not have such unbearable sorrow. So I am all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know you will be glad to see him, and that will lighten all my cares. Welcome him with Christian love and with great joy, and be sure to honour people like him, for he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while trying to do for me the things you couldn't do because you were far away. Whatever happens, dear brothers and sisters, may the Lord give you joy. I never get tired of telling you this. I am doing this for your own good. Watch out for those dogs, those wicked men and their evil deeds, those mutators who say to you, you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship God in the Spirit are the only ones who are truly circumcised. We put no confidence in human effort. Instead, we boast about what Christ has done for us. Yet, I could have confidence in myself if anyone could. If others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. For I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, having been born into a pure-blooded Jewish family that is the branch of the tribe of Benjamin. So I am a real Jew, if there was one. What's more, I was a member of the Pharisees, who deemed the strictest obedience to the Jewish law, and zealous, yes, in fact, I harshly persecuted the ecclesia, and I obeyed the Jewish law so carefully that I was never accused of fault. I once thought these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the riches and the priceless gain of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own goodness or ability to obey God's law, but I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. As a result, I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that somehow I can experience the resurrection of the dead, or from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will be finally with Christ, be finally all in all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be. But I am focusing my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree on these things. If you disagreed on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. We must be sure to obey the truth we have learned already. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Their future is eternal destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and all they think about is this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Saviour. He will take these weak mortal bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same mighty power that he will use to conquer everything everywhere. Dear brothers and sisters, I love you and long to see you, for you are my joy and the reward for my work. So please stay true to the Lord, my dear friends. And now I want to plead with those two women, Euroda and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true teammate, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me telling others the good news. And they worked with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the Book of Life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are concentrate in all you do. Consider it in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right. Think about things that are only pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. How grateful I am, and how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but for a while you didn't have a chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to get along happily whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength I need. But even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I brought you the good news, and then travelled from Macedonia. No other ecclesia did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. I want what is for you to receive a well-earned reward because of your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need, more than I need. I am generously supplied with gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable to God and pleases him. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Jesus Christ. Now glory be to God, our Father, forever and ever. Paul's final words here for us today. As for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world died long ago, and the world's interest in me also died long ago. It doesn't make any difference now whether we've been circumcised or not. What counts, brethren and sisters, what counts is whether we really have been changed into new and different people. May God's mercy and peace be upon all those who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. My dear brethren and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Brethren and sisters, as we take this bread and wine to remember our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and his obedience to God, so that we may too be saved through him, let us also thank our brother Paul for his good work, his love and dedication to Christ, so that we may apply his principles to our lives in Christ.